music, news, entertainment. It's all right here. This is the Kelly Alexander Show.
Hey, it's Kelly, and this week on the show, we speak to our music editor, Sharon Hyland, about how many pop artists these days are releasing songs or albums in the country music vein. We also chat about the influence Beyoncé is having since the release of her album Cowboy Carter and the positive impact she's having on other female artists in country music and vice versa. We then dip into our vintage vault and chat with Australian-born singer-songwriter and musician Eddie Benjamin, talking about his debut album Weatherman and what it was like to tour with Justin Bieber.
Follow us on Instagram, Kelly Alexander Show.
Always happy when we are joined by our music editor, Sharon Hyland. Hello, Sharon.
Hey, Kel, how are you?
I am fantastic.
You like that sound?
Was that sound?
We're ready? I'll do it again.
Yeah.
It's a clicking sound that one would make toward a farm animal or a horse in particular. Yes. Like, giddy up.
It's so funny how you are on point with that noise.
Uh-huh, yeah.
In this particular
I'm just trying to deliver the full package of what we're about to dive into.
It was a full package. It's a full package. I'm actually really excited to talk to you about this because everybody's been going like bananas over the last little while since basically Beyoncé dropped Cowboy Carter. Mm-hmm. And it's just so funny to me. And like, she just must sit there and go, mm-hmm, because... Or like when what's her face, Maya Rudolph does a good impersonation of her. Yeah, exactly. Because everybody has gone bonkers, good and bad, over like her album drop. And so I want you to, I guess, just tell me what you think about like Beyoncé. And I love to, I'll just preface this by saying, I think it was very apropos of her to say it's not a country album, it's a Beyoncé album.
Exactly. I think she has to be the person to say that, to own that narrative.
Mm-hmm.
And that there's such a great divide in people being so specific about who can be what. In 2024, at this point of our social, musical, whatever the game, we should be able to like and create whatever fills our heart the best. And one day it could be hip hop. Another day could be R&B. Another day could be country. Another day could be rock. I mean, we've talked on our other podcast and even on this one about Mariah Carey and, you know, the rock album that she did. We talked about Janet Jackson and how strong Black Cat is as a rock song.
Mm-hmm.
These are things that artists are interested in exploring different kinds of things to sort of stretch their own boundaries. And, you know, whether it's creative or, you know, physical, like you're trying to sing a different way. And for Beyoncé to out of the gate say it's a Beyoncé album, perfect. She's wearing a cowboy hat. She's got like a bit of a twang on that first single. The fact that people are divided by it is I think, a reflection of how, you know, I think record companies want that divide to exist because it generates more press and more, you know, people love it when people argue, right?
Yep.
It actually ends up being good for sales, good for streams, good for everything. But it's silly when it comes to, you can't do a country album. Anybody can do anything.
Yeah,
it's just the way it is. Like, that's a short story, and I don't mean to end the conversation. I just I'm confounded by the short-sightedness of people still.
There's so many levels of this in the fact that I have been educated in many ways since this album has come out,
mm-hmm.
and in many different regards. So, like, for example, I actually saw something today where you know, because everybody's going on like, oh my god, like all these artists are going country. So Beyoncé, Lana Del Rey is supposed to be dropping an album later on this year called Lasso.
Mm-hmm.
Post Malone might be on the way with something. Ed Sheeran has mentioned in the past that he was very influenced after he spent time, I think, in 2013 and 2018 in Nashville.
Well, think about that. A guy and his guitar. How much more country can you get?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it would be less surprising if he did a pop album. It should be more surprising that he was doing a pop album. He is more in line with country sounds just by virtue of the fact that he's, you know, sports an acoustic guitar.
Yes.
which is silly and it's cliche and it's all the stereotypes, but like, why wouldn't he want to explore that? You've got different people living in different places that have different experiences, and yet we're all sort of related somehow by a love of music. So let's bring our different ideas or our regional concepts together and see what happens.
And to me, like I mentioned this on one of the stations we work for, because they asked me to come on to speak about this, and everything's cyclical, right? Because like back in 1994, I think it was, Alan Jackson released a song called Gone Country in response to it being a time then where I think a lot of writers and artists were doing something with country. And then was it 2001 when Madonna did like her song that was very like, country-esque in the video when there's the bucking horses. I'm forgetting the
Was that Tell Me?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and a great video. And so, and somebody mentioned that. I saw that on Instagram today where people were, he's like, you know, Madonna for me will always be the original, not original country, but just the fact that she had taken that on her shoulders back in like 2001 to do it. Mm-hmm. And then people were jumping all over him because like, I guess they felt he was being anti-Beyonce, but he wasn't. He was just saying like, that's my girl, Madonna. And then, so the other part that I wanted to talk to you about was I didn't get to watch the full segment, but I saw a segment from, I believe it was ABC News, and they had gone to investigate like people's thoughts on Beyonce in Houston, which is where she's from.
Yeah.
So a bunch of people were like, oh my God, like super excited. She, like, you know, the album's amazing, blah, blah. Then there was the people from Houston that think she shouldn't be doing this. Like, what's she doing out of her lane? Like all this stuff. And I'm just sitting there going, you're so ridiculous. Like, you're so ridiculous. So I don't, and you already spoke to that. But so the next part I will bring up is part of that segment that I watched really was educational for me because they interviewed Rhiannon Giddens, who is the woman, the musician who played the banjo on Texas Hold'em.
Ah.
And I didn't know that it was her. And I didn't know she was a woman of color, like all that stuff. So it was just super amazing. And she actually got emotional in the interview because she was so thrilled that, you know, now there's a focus on country music and African-Americans and their place in it because they, I think, helped create it. So
of course they did. When you think back to where all the genres of music existed and it was like geographic, you know, basically where you came from, even if you take it back to the blues and country and Western and how the fusion of that created the basis of rock and roll, add in some rhythm and blues and you sort of, you know, give some flash and you know, color to the whole experience. And then you build something on that. So if you lean a little more toward the country and Western, it's not like you're ignoring the other stuff. Like Beyonce's not going pure country. She's doing what she wants to do. And she brings all the things that she's interested into a project like this. I think back to, you mentioned Alan Jackson. He did a cover of Tequila Sunrise by the Eagles on that Eagles tribute album back in 93.
Okay.
It's called Common Thread, Songs of the Eagles. And it was country stars that covered Eagles songs. The Eagles being one of the bands responsible for the, like that fusion of rock and country. And I don't think people had a problem with that. You know, like people didn't have a problem with that fusion of those genres because, like, we knew they existed. Why should it be a problem for Beyonce to want to explore something different in an area of music that includes country?
Yeah.
Like, these are the roots of our music that we like. Whatever we like, they're all intersected. You can't package them up and say that one has nothing to do with the other. Mm-hmm. They all have a common thread.
I know what's interesting too to me is like, so I recently did an interview and the interview is now online. So if you want to check it out on our YouTube channel with three of Janet's backup vocalists.
Mm-hmm.
And what was interesting in that is like, we were talking about, it kind of came up Janet's awareness of her, of people being like kind of freaked out by her, you know, because it's Janet, you know?
Yeah.
And so they all said like just how down to earth she is and all that stuff, but that she is aware of, I guess, her aura.
Mm-hmm.
And so she puts people at ease, you know? And so this makes me think of Beyonce because Beyonce for sure knows her aura and also knows that she is in a supreme position of educating people.
Yeah.
And so I think that she is doing that with this project because, again, like she's educated me like about just this one woman, even Rhiannon Giddens.
Yeah.
I didn't know was a musician, didn't know she could play the banjo like that, didn't know she was a musician on Texas Hold'em. And then so I feel like, you know, Beyonce sometimes must have to just sort of sit there and go like, I'm going to do this. And people are going to learn. I don't think she's got some God complex, by the way, either. I just think she probably is aware that she is in such a position to make people be better educated when it comes to music.
Well, and that's what happens, I think. People in a leadership role like that, whether or not they pursue it intentionally or they gravitate toward it naturally, when they are in that position where they know that they are providing teachable moments along the way, it's not always received with great gratitude. You know, people aren't always happy to be taught something, especially by someone that they're questioning or they may perceive as less than or shouldn't be doing what they're doing. The idea, though, is that it comes with great responsibility. And it seems that, at least to me, that Beyonce is perfectly suited to take on the role to educate people. Just by, I mean, we go back to that in the beginning where she said it's a Beyonce album.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Deal with it.
Yeah. And something, I don't know if you know this because I only found this out today, but she sent bouquets of flowers. And I'm not sure how many people, but she sent them for sure to Mickey Guyton, who was getting some, you know, is justly been getting more attention over the last few years as a country artist, a black woman country artist.
Yep.
And then also there's another artist named Kay Michelle, and I think her stage name is Puddin. So
fun.
So Beyonce sent them flowers and thanked them for opening the door for her in that genre.
That's
and
cool.
So they posted about it on their social media. I haven't gone and look myself, but I saw the sort of quoted clips from it. Mm-hmm. And I just thought, again, what a class act Beyonce is to send bouquets of flowers to, because she's aware, like she knows that there's other women who have been struggling, you know, to get noticed in that genre of music as people of color. And she wanted to give them a boost and also a thank you. I think thank you was first and foremost, and then hopefully a boost.
Yeah.
I just thought, again, like, she's a complete class act, Beyonce.
I think that I agree with you 100%. And I think that, again, the people that put artists and styles of music or genres of music in a position of competition, it doesn't benefit the artist. It benefits the record companies because sales are, you know, generate more money, et cetera. So it's old school approach to make it seem like they don't get along. So Beyonce being a human, sending flowers and making that, that acknowledgement, she didn't post about it. She just did it. Right. And these women kindly said, wow, that's great. I will post about it because that's a big deal and I appreciate it. Mm-hmm. It's good to be competitive in some regards, because why not be inspired by the people that, you know, you think are doing something cool or something that, you know, inspires you? But it doesn't have to be negative. That doesn't have to, doors don't have to be shut. People can create things. And if people like it, that's when you know it's worked. If they don't, they don't have to like it. Nobody has to like anything.
Yeah, exactly.
But people are trying, and I think artists have to continue to do that.
Yeah, it just must be also, too, on her. Like, I hope she isolates herself for the most part from stupidities, but it has to be annoying to just know, like, she's always got a target on her back.
Oh, yeah. I think you have to, you know, combination of having a thick skin and, you know, remaining committed to doing what you want to do. I think that there's a lonely element to it too, because you're human, so people can say something cutting and mean, and it still might hurt. But I think you have to, that thicker skin pushes you forward and keeps you on the right track.
I think so also. And just a quick note, did you have a chance to listen to it yet? The album?
Not the whole album, but I did hear her. I've heard the first single, and I heard I saw Paul McCartney give her a shout out for her cover of Blackbird.
Oh, okay,
which is very good and fairly. She's, you know, not recreated the wheel or anything, And which I think you have to, if you're taking a classic and covering it, you can either change it entirely or stick to it. And when you got a song like Paul McCartney's Blackbird, you don't have to do much to change it. You just sort of have to make sure that you honor it effectively. And I think that she did that from what I heard. And certainly what he wrote, Paul McCartney himself thinks that she's done a beautiful job.
And if you have a chance, check out her version of Jolene. And also, have you heard it? No, you haven't heard it yet.
I don't think I have heard that one.
Oh, no, because she changes some of the like the intonation of it. Like I think there's like some word changes because, ooh. Yeah.
All right.
And I shouldn't say I think, there is. Okay. and then the other one, which I really thought was amazing, was her collab with Miley Cyrus, Two Most Wanted. That's the name of it.
Okay, I'm on it.
It's really good because I haven't heard a collaboration, because actually I'll even bring back the word that you and I, well, this is the word I try to stay away from for the most part, so I don't sound like I'm 87 years old, mm-hmm. but they actually like duetted, like they, it was a duet because, you know, like on collabs, it's often like somebody does a verse or a little whatever.
Yeah.
But it was literally Miley singing, Beyonce singing, Miley singing, Beyonce singing.
I love that.
Chorus together, whatever. And so just a great song. And I love that Beyonce has Miley Cyrus on this album and Post Malone. Like, I love it. I love it. I love it.
I agree with you. I think it to get to work with your peers also, you know, yeah. Like people that are hitting their own stride, mm-hmm. tapping into that energy has to be inspiring. My only concern is that on the cover of the album, she's sitting backwards on the horse and it's dangerous.
Also true. Can I also just say, last thing to you is that, so, you know, like it must be like 2 or 3 months ago now where she appeared at an award show dressed in cowboy fair. Right. This would have been before the Super Bowl. So I can't remember where she was. Was it the Grammys? Maybe it was. Anyways, but I remember thinking to myself, because she had the cowboy hat on, and I was like, oh, like, look at her go. But not even thinking for a second that this was like a tease that something's a coming, and right. It ended up being the cowboy album, right? So
she should have just leaned in the mic and said that. Something's a coming.
Yeah. So her and her team are just brilliant. Like, so are, you know, and here's my question. Is Taylor Swift going to now come back with a country album? Because it's the genre du jour. We'll see.
Well, that's the other funny thing, too. As soon as you have someone as big and as grand as Beyonce do country, it's like, hey, oh, country's cool again. Country's always been cool.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I mean, we read that article, the same article that refers to Barbara Mandrell. You mentioned Alan Jackson. Barbara Mandrell had done it like a dozen years earlier, talking about being country before it was cool. So
yeah.
It's always been cool. So yeah. For anybody that's just coming around to it, welcome to the party.
Yeah, exactly. And I hope there's a super group of Beyonce, Reba McEntire, and Dolly Parton.
Ooh, that'd be cool. I'd love to see Beyonce tour with Miley.
Oh,
can you imagine that?
That would be epic.
Gosh.
It's just too bad Miley hates touring.
That is too bad.
Yeah, it is too bad.
I mean, for us.
It is, yeah. thank you, Sharon Hyland.
Thanks, Kel.
That is our music editor, Sharon Hyland. You can follow her on Instagram at @TheSharonHyland. And don't forget to check out the other podcast that we co-host together called 90s Now. And you can hit up our website for all the social media handles, KellyAlexanderShow.com.
Listen anytime, anyplace. Just a click away. KellyAlexanderShow.com.
We are very excited to welcome Australian singer-songwriter and musician Eddie Benjamin to the show. Eddie is doing amazing things. So much success. He's on the Justin Bieber tour right now. He's going to be releasing his debut album called Weatherman, and we are so excited to catch up with him. Eddie, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
I'm so excited. I have so many questions for you. So many questions. So first of all, I'm intrigued by the fact that it seems like you were like a musical phenom at a young age. Like, when did you start playing instruments?
Wow, that's a good question. Honestly, pretty late. I was about 12 or 13. I got my first guitar on my 11th birthday and I was like, this is boring and high pitched and annoying. And then I saw Prince play live and he like slapped a bass. I was like, whoa, dad, I know I just asked you for a guitar, but can I get a bass? He was like, oh my gosh. Okay. Yeah. So I think like 12 or 13, I started playing, but it was intense. It was a lot of hours a day from that Amazing. Day till right now. Yeah.
Well, when I see you play, it's like you're like a maestro. Like, it's crazy. And I know that you play multiple instruments. I've seen you play the piano and obviously the bass and the guitar. do you have an instrument that speaks to your soul the most? Like, which one is your favorite?
Bass is definitely my favorite. I'm definitely a better bass player than, yeah, I wouldn't even say I play the other instruments. Like, I don't know, I can play what I hear on pretty much any instrument, especially strings. I can always play what I hear, but like the bass is definitely, like, you know, definitely a part of me.
Amazing. Now, was your family super supportive right off the hop? Because I know your dad is a musician or was a musician, and your mom was into the arts as well. But were they supportive of seeing their son heading in this direction?
Absolutely. And I didn't give them a choice. I didn't. They honestly, they were never pushy. They didn't push me in any direction. And I think it's really hard. You know, I really did zero schoolwork. I was focused on music. Like, I knew exactly what I wanted to do. So I think getting, like, really terrible grades, oh my God, my kid's in his, like, he's practiced, like, what's happening? But, like, I think they kind of knew and just trusted me because, you know, I'd show them. I'd be like, guys, what do you think? And they'd be like, huh, you know what? And yeah, they were always real with me, and they're professional artists. So they kind of, you know, I was guided by them, but yeah, never pushed in any direction. They were very supportive. And yeah, I've talked to them as an adult since I was a young kid. And I think that's I'm very grateful for that, you know.
When you were a kid, like, what, especially growing up in Australia, did you listen to a lot of like international artists, like American artists? And if you did, like, who influenced you the most? And do you think that their sound has influenced even what you're producing to this day?
Without question. And I don't think there is one Australian artist ever who has captured me. Honestly. So yeah, when I was a kid, I was, you know, before I played music, I was exposed to a lot of jazz, a lot of classical music, a lot of Bach, Mozart. And then, you know, I was introduced to a lot of styles. And I know people say, you know, I listen to every style, but like, when I'm talking about Mongolian music in like the first modal structure, like, I was listening to quite abstract things when I was young. But then, you know, Prince, Stevie Wonder, Sting, like, all of these things just kind of came into my brain. And even like the new, like, you know, Black Eyed Peas came out when I was just like, when I was really young, and like all these albums and Sonics, you know, I could kind of hear the technology shifting. I'm like, okay, so this kind of digital world and this kind of analog world, they feel very different. They make me feel very different. And just like, and then, okay, I'm writing kind of string arrangement for orchestras, or like, you know, practicing a Bach kind of vibe, or now I'm playing jazz. So like, I kind of wanted to really be able to hold music in my hand. So I really went kind of, yeah, I of course, still learning and still trying to do that. But yeah, I kind of was just so hyper obsessed. And I think definitely influenced by kind of those 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s analog recordings, but like then obsessed with, like, yeah, again, the new technology and the arrangements and the crazy superstardom vibe. Like, yeah, all of it. I was obsessed with it.
I read that you obviously did a bunch of gigs over in Australia and you know, were on the scene and doing all that stuff before you came over to the States. Is there a, so I think, you know, when anybody was to say to you, or if they've said it to you, you know, you're like, you're an overnight success. Clearly that is not true. You've put in the hours and all that stuff. But is there a moment in your mind where you know that a certain incident happened, which has led you to where you are right now talking to me?
It's a really good question. And the answer is no. I think, and this is a thought I've been battling with a lot, you know, because I think there's two extremes. Personally, I'm a very extreme person with emotions. So like, there's two perspectives I share. I'm like, oh my God, you've just started. You're terrible. Keep your head down. This is all whatever. Then there's a perspective like, this has happened so fast. I can't believe this. Like, oh my gosh. And yeah, then there's another perspective of like, wait, I've been practicing for 5 hours every day in my room for like years. You know, you should feel, yeah, you know, of like any human, just juggling all those kind of emotions and confidence. But like, I believe that, you know, intention and energy from a magnitude of things brings you to where you want to be. You know, I don't think reality can play out so many different ways, especially if you truly understand the maths it takes to create matter and like actual reality. I think our brains are not even remotely designed to be able to think about like, oh my God, this one thing, like, just have to let go a little. So I think all the energy I've put in, and And yeah, I'm still just so hungry and so focused. And honestly, I tell myself I haven't done anything, which I kind of believe. I'm like, I'm just starting. So yeah.
What was the decision to move from Australia to LA? Like, how did you know you had to go?
I got signed by my manager and he was like, you got to come over here. And I was like, I know. And he was like, let's do it. That was the thought process.
Okay.
I just knew.
And did your parents come with you or you went on your own?
Yep, they came with me. Yeah.
Okay, amazing. Now, I'm sure you've answered this question a million times, but I just need to know because we have lots of Justin Bieber fans here in Montreal. How did he find out about you? And what's the best piece of advice that he's given you so far?
Okay, great question. So it was, I'll give you the full story because it's pretty funny. So I had just moved to LA. I'm 2 weeks in. I'm practicing my bass in the morning, obviously, like really practicing scales. And Maddie, my girlfriend, she Tamula Shaw, she's like, hey, Haley just texted me. Justin wants to talk to you. And I have no idea what she's talking about. I'm like, I don't know who Haley is. Is this your friend? Like, is this an uncle? Like, yeah, I have no idea what you're talking about. And then she showed me the DM. I'm like, oh, that group of lovely people. Okay. So I was very like, honestly, a little confused and just like walked out to the lounge room. I was like, okay. And then I was actually, you know, I was skating outside and just catching my breath and my phone rang. It was a Canadian number.
Nice.
And yeah, so that was kind of that little moment. And yeah, he's such a beautiful person and such a loving friend and yeah, really cares about the right things. And you can tell he just wants to protect. And he's been through the ringer, as we know, this industry. He's been through everything this world has to offer in terms of, like, you know, the music world. And yeah, instantly kind of through that phone call, like, we just had having conversations and about, you know, how to deal with all this and all, you know, the things he thought that might be coming my way. And I think one of the biggest things that I still consciously think about is just keeping that tight core circle close to you. You know, I think there's so much sound that goes on around this. And yeah, again, I think that's the biggest thing he's told me is just like, you know, your core, you've got to keep it tight. You've got to be aware of all these things and being a leader of kind of your camp and these things, you know, comes with a lot of responsibility and honestly, just getting the time to be with him and seeing how he conducts himself as a leader. There's 30 trucks on this tour and, you know, he's humble and guiding. And I think, yeah, it's amazing to see and learn off him for sure.
When you finish your set, like for opening mm-hmm. jam and you head backstage, do you then notice, no matter, I know you've only been on the tour for like a few dates so far, but do you notice mm-hmm. like thousands more people starting to follow you now on social media because you're getting exposure?
I mean, yeah, absolutely. There's like, I mean, I definitely don't see like everything, but I definitely like, I don't know, my Instagram's being a little weird. Sometimes I can't see my tag, but like, absolutely, I see so many messages like, what's this song? I'm playing a lot of unreleased music. Okay. And just like, yeah, building a little bit of culture of that is so fun. But like, absolutely, like this, his fans are amazing every night. They're so excited. And I think it's so funny. I'm going, like, no one knows me. I'm going out there. And it's just like, the Believers are amazing, honestly. It's a really, really positive energy, everyone on the tour. And yeah, definitely, definitely getting used to and handling the feeling of more attention, for sure.
Amazing. Now, let's talk about Weatherman, the single. First of all, it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. The music video is amazing. And I'm sure I'm not the first person that has told you that I love the blue jacket and I wish it was mine. It's very cool. It's a very
thank
cool
you.
About the song itself, it's so crazy because to me, it sounds like it has these 70s vibes to it wrapped in 2022 production. Was that a conscious decision?
Very conscious, very hard to do, still mastering that. That's kind of what I'm obsessed by is the old recording, the old gear, the old care, attention to detail, and the hyper new frequencies that can just push anything anywhere. And yeah, my soul collaborator, Kid Culture, who made the entire album with me and this song, just me and him, we spend a lot of time in that kind of sound design department and really want to crack onto something new because quite frankly, we think everything sounds pretty similar at the moment. And yeah, we want to break through and push through and bring something new to the table.
When it comes to the debut album, because this is the first time you're ever going to get to release your debut album.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you feel about that? Like, is it your extreme like baby, and are you excited to push it out? Or are you nervous a little bit yet about releasing it to the fans?
Honestly, I think the climate is so different in terms of what albums mean, especially with how many people have the 24 song albums, which I am not a fan of personally. I think that's ridiculous. My brain can't handle that amount of repetitiveness, because a lot of those albums sound like ideas with a mix on it. So I'm really focused in kind of, you know, these 7 songs are core experiences to me. They kind of changed my life. So I'm very, you know, intentional about those things. But, you know, I think I'm already working on my next album. I'm just always moving. And, you know, this is a 7 song album. It's not like I'm showing my entire musical, you know, everything. And I'm aware of that, but you know, I'm going to die one day.
Eddie, you're awesome. Is there somebody right now in top 40 land that you would love to collaborate with, whether that's a producer or another artist? Like, would you like to do a Beyonce song?
Wow, that's such a great question. Like, being able to work with quite a few top 40 artists and just observing them and is like definitely amazing. I mean, there's definitely some goats. Beyonce is insane. But honestly, like, I'm not too obsessed with like singing with a bunch of people. I never really look for that. Like, the collaborations, especially on my songs, like, I'm very like, I have to feel that with that person. And I think that's more of an inhuman thing. Yeah, you know, I collaborate with a few people, but I'm also like, with my albums, I'm a little more specific. I'm a little more hidden. I'm a little more, yeah, kind of more cautious with it. So I'm definitely like, I have to really feel that connection for sure.
Now, knowing that you're obviously like a super talented songwriter and a musician, and now you're getting to go out on stage, is there a favorite element to what you do? Like, are you loving being on stage more, or are you like a studio rat?
That's a really good question. Wow. I love this. You know, because I've been thinking about this, because I think I am a performer. I'm not a musician who goes on stage. Like, I'm really like, I'm here to entertain. And like, that's kind of who I am as a core. So honestly, like, I've been in the studio for 4 years without doing a show. You know, I grew up playing in jazz bars. Like, I just needed to play. That's what I wanted to do. So like, going out on stage and feeling that energy is like, I remembered, you know, that's what I do. That's kind of who I am. I'm a performer. But then this whole another side of me is developed, where it's like, if I'm having a really hard day, the thing that gets me through is listening to this next album that I'm working on and writing a string part for it, writing melodies, or just the concept will help me through the day. So like, I think, you know, it's just all mixing, matching. But I think like, getting on stage again was just amazing. And I had a great moment, honestly. You know, the first tour date I went on, no one knew like what was going to happen, went up, played there. And right after, you know, Justin was like, oh my gosh, bro, you know, you're an entertainer, da, da, da. And just kind of hearing that and like doing that, then seeing him play, it's like, this is why we do this. Like, of course, I say that to say, cause we've all been locked in our houses for 2 years, and like just remembering that, seeing him, everything playing is like, yeah, it's definitely what I want to do. Why I chose do this.
Do you find now that, because like you mentioned earlier about Justin needing to be a leader for his team, especially with 30 trucks on the road, like there's a lot of people that are employed by the man. Do you start to view yourself now? Cause I sense from you, obviously, that you're like an artist, right? Like, you're an artist. That's who you are. Are you learning to be a businessman?
Absolutely. I've actually never spoken remotely anything about this in an interview, but yeah, I'm extremely conscious about the things that go on. That being said, I've spent a lot of time, you know, building a team, and even a financial team. You know, I'm very specific about that stuff. You know, it's really important. And being able to talk to people who have been through hell in this industry and been in really crazy business situations that just sound soul crushing, I really put a lot of time in and built a lot of trust with kind of people who communicate very clearly with clearly with me, and that business side is like, yeah, very comfortable. So I'm able to focus on just being me, just creating, just flowing. But like, yeah, definitely business conscious for sure.
I'm so proud of you. And I have no right to say that, but I think
hey,
it's amazing.
Kelly, sorry to interrupt. More question, please. Yeah,
perfect. No problem.
Cool.
So I'll finish off just two quick questions for you. Who is the coolest person in your phone apart from your family, friends, and Justin Bieber?
Oh my God. Oh my gosh. I have no idea. What's cool? Like, what's cool? Like, some people would think my Instagram followers is cool, but that's not what I think is cool. Like, I don't know. I've met some really interesting people. Can I answer that next time I come on the show?
Because
I do want to come back.
Of course. And last question, do you have a message for your Montreal fans who I don't think you've met yet, but we're looking forward to you coming here?
I am so excited to come to Montreal. I've actually really wanted to just go and visit, and I'm excited to go there with the locals. And I have some friends out there, and I'm ready to scream with all of you on my set. Then I'm going to come out and scream to Justin's set. It's going to be very fun.
Eddie, it has been an absolute pleasure to meet you. I wish you all the success in the world, and I hope we get to meet in person one day.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. I appreciate your time.
The Kelly Alexander Show.
Thank you very much for spending time with us on the program this week. And a big thank you as well going out to our guests, Sharon Hyland and Eddie Benjamin. I also want to thank our amazing producer, Andrew Sabino, for doing such a wonderful job putting the show together. And don't forget that you can grab all of our social media handles by hitting up our website, kellyalexandershow.com. And we would love for you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/kellyalexandershow. Have an amazing week. You and I will chat soon.
The Kelly Alexander Show.